Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright.
And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today from Urmia University of Medical Sciences. An article I just read in the Journal of Nutritional Science shows that coenzyme Q10 is associated with improved trauma patient outcomes. Well, with the millions of people suffering from trauma in the United States each year, that's good news. But then we follow that with Nigella sativa. That's black seed. Black seed oil, you hear me talk about? Well, that prevents COVID-induced vascular damage. So says the Oriental Institute of Science and Technology, an article published in the highly respected Vascular Pharmacology Journal. Who knew? Certainly not Anthony Fauci, certainly not the Surgeon General, certainly not anyone in the government or in industry or in corporate America. No. No one in the media. But here it is. So another thing we can do to help prevent vascular damage from COVID that's natural, non-toxic. Also today, we'll talk about vitamin D supplementation improves recovery time of children with pneumonia at pediatric hospital. Cairo University in Egypt has that to say. And also physical activity could combat fatigue, cognitive decline in cancer survivors, University of Illinois. So you see, if it's important in health and nutrition, we have it. And you're going to hear it always from peer-reviewed literature. But also today, we're going to take a look at several other issues that are important. Among those issues will be looking at an article from Chris Hedges entitled The Collective Suicide Machine, published on Sheer Post. Chris is one of my favorite and most respected journalists out there, and we'll share that with you. But then we have some videos to also share today, and we'll get into those in just a few moments. We have so much packed into this program today, I don't want to waste any time. So let's go immediately to health and nutrition. We know that coenzyme Q10 is good for providing energy to the mitochondria, especially for the heart and for the brain. And therefore, preventatively, it helps us have a healthier heart longer, healthier nervous system, cognition, clarity of thought, longer. So people in their 20s should start using this. But for people who are older, that's even more important. So we know that it helps, and that's one of the protocols I have to prevent heart disease. In fact, when I get my annual cardiovascular checkup, and they put me on the stress test, etc., the cardiologist was asking me, how do you keep such a low resting pulse rate? And how do you have such a strong heart? I said, well, I'm an ultramarathoner, 50Ks, triathlons, etc. I've done over 600 races in my career, over 400 I've won. And I have to have a strong heart, strong muscles, and recovery. And to that, I created a protocol for myself. And it was funny because when I told him the protocol, he opened the door beside him, a drawer, and he said, look here, everything you just mentioned, I'm using. I'm using L-carnitine, coenzyme Q10, magnesium, cayenne. Yeah, I'm using all the things you're using. And I said, do you give those to your patients? He said, oh, no. Close the door. He says, no, I can't advocate for that because if I did, my license as a board-certified cardiologist would be challenged. You know the politics. And that was it. And this is one of New York's leading cardiologists. So it's for we the people to do our homework carefully, methodically, and look at the peer-reviewed literature. Just go to PubMed. After all, that's the ultimate repository for all qualified information on science and then on health. So if you can say, look, I created this protocol based upon articles on PubMed, quality articles in the peer-reviewed literature, than let someone say, oh, that's not supported by good science. No, it is. So use your coenzyme Q10 because now it's showing you can also help improve trauma, and that's important. It revealed benefits for hospitalized trauma patients who were given supplements that contain Q10. 40 men and women with traumatic injury and low plasma levels of Q10 participated. They were given 400 milligrams daily for 7 days. Then they sampled their blood. They looked at all the different inflammatory markers. And then they said, this will certainly help with trauma patient outcomes. Good. That can save lives. When all else fails, use black cumin seed oil. It doesn't taste good. Most people can't take it straight like a teaspoon. They blend it into a smoothie, which I recommend, because otherwise you can feel it. It's strong, but boy, is it good. And according to the Oriental Institute of Science and Technology, when you use this, it can help your vascular system. And that's very important. It binds to AC2 in the lungs, effectively stopping the Wuhan coronavirus from inducing inflammation and vascular damage, which could save your life. Now, this is not hearsay. It's not speculative. It's not hypothesis. This was published in the most respected journal in that field, Vascular Pharmacology, the current issue. So wouldn't you think that every emergency room, every critical care center, every ICU in the world will be having this along with magnesium and coenzyme Q10 and selenium and vitamin D and vitamin C drips? But none of them do, at least none that I'm aware of. Because frequently they die. This is one way of turning off inflammation. So these researchers were in India, and that's what they use. So just one more piece to the puzzle to help you. So if something is able to stop a cytokine storm, cytokine, C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, cytokine, and that's massive amounts of inflammation, and that's what generally leads to death. So that could help in a very positive way. So just remember that. Also, it's antibacterial. It kills viruses. It kills bacteria. It turns off inflammation, it's a great antioxidant, and it brings down high blood pressure, and it's an immune modulator. Wow, it does all of that. Black cumin seed oil. You can buy it in capsules, you can buy it in jars. Also from Cairo University in Egypt, vitamin D supplementation improves recovery time of children with pneumonia at pediatric hospital. So according to news reporting originating out of Cairo, researchers stated, quote, despite the well-recognized effect of vitamin D in metabolism and homeostasis, there is now growing interest in its probable association with pneumonia. The study aims to supply vitamin D3 at 100,000 units to pneumonic children to minimize the duration of illness and improve their outcome, end quote. And that's what they did. This was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial conducted in the Pediatric Cairo University Affiliated Hospital, 93 children in a control group of 98 children who had pneumonia with an insufficient or deficient level of vitamin D and whose parental permission was obtained were enrolled in the trial. All children were treated with antibiotics during the, according to the World Health Organization guidelines, but children were given a single injection of 1 milliliter, which is 100,000 units, of vitamin D3 or a placebo. The clinical data were recorded every night or every 8 hours for all children. Outcomes were assessed 7 days after vitamin D injection. The primary outcome variable was the change in serum vitamin D levels, and it showed a huge, huge difference. Good for vitamin D, not so good for the placebo. Hence, vitamin D, especially with children who may be suffering the beginning stages of pneumonia. Also from the University of Illinois, physical activity could combat fatigue and cognitive decline in cancer survivors. So a new study indicates that cancer patients and survivors have a ready weapon against fatigue and chemo brain. Power walking. That's it. go out for a nice power walk and add to it each day until you get up to an hour a day. So that's important because they looked at the association between physical activity, fatigue, and performance on cognitive tasks in 300 breast cancer survivors. Quote, the data suggested being more physically active could reduce two of the more commonly reported symptoms of breast cancer survivors, fatigue and cognitive impairment. Okay, so let's get exercising. That's terrific. And also finally, from Sichuan University in China, cannabidiol promotes oral ulcer healing by inactivating CMPK2-mediated NLRP3 inflammatories. So in lay language, the cannabis oil, the non-psychogenic but very healing that is recommended, now is shown to help with oral ulcers healing. And by the way, the oral ulcer is a common oral inflammatory lesion with severe pain but little effective treatment in orthodox medicine. And the CBD, the cannabidiol, CANNABIDIOL, is recently emerging as a therapeutic agent for inflammatory diseases. So that's important. One last thing. There's an interesting study out of Belgium from the Louvain Research Institute, and they looked at spirulina. Spira, S-P-I-R-U-lina, L-I-N-A, spirulina. If they could modify the microbiome, meaning the good bacteria in your gut, to protect against age-related damage. And spirulina might help protect against age-related liver inflammation by modifying pathways in the microbiome, so says the research. So consuming some spirulina, which is easily available, not expensive, could help protect against hepatic inflammation, liver inflammation, in the elderly. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrients. So for all of you who've been using your green powders that have spirulina, good for you. One more of the hundreds of studies showing the benefits of this terrific plant-based protein. It's algae, actually, and we need it. Also, please write down this number because you never know if you're listening from all the different stations around the world when one day you turn on the radio and gee whiz, where'd Gary go? Well, it doesn't happen very often and never on Progressive Radio Network, but let me give you two numbers. Here's the first number. Listening live, Monday to Friday, noon to 1, Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. for the Progressive Commentary Hour. And boy, there was a good one last night. I hope you listened. If not, listen on the archives. 717-734-6955. 717-734-6955. Our other number is if you miss a show live, want to get it on the archive, you can. Archive number is 631-359-9463. Again, 631-359-9463. 631-359-9463. And that way you won't miss anything because a whole lot of wonderful things are happening now. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, one of our listeners, who is also a health activist, she's educated in health sciences, she's counseled a lot of people, and she's also a consumer activist. She is always at rallies. I've seen her at least 10 of my rallies and marches and protests. Her name is Pietra Provenzano. She sent me an interesting article. I had not read it. I didn't even know about this person, so I thank her for doing that. But this is something that now we're told, get the mask back on. Okay, that's your choice. Wear a mask or two, wear three. Whatever you believe Fauci is saying is correct, you can do that. But in a society that believes in freedom of choice and examining all information before we make our choice, listen to what this woman has to say. Not Pietra, but rather a scientist. I didn't even know about this scientist. Well, then again, there are millions of scientists. But boy, I'm paying attention now, and we're inviting her on the program. Back in a moment with that commentary. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Noll. We believe that there is an important reason why people are coming to our site in numbers that I've never seen before. When I tell you that the people downloading the program, sharing the articles, please do that, sharing the videos, that spreads. For example, just one post that we have, and it's still there, you should watch it. Dr. Carrie Mullis won the Nobel Prize for discovering the PCR, which has been used in COVID up to this moment, said don't use it for diagnosing. It can't be used for that. So it's been used for that. Now they're turning around saying, well, we're not going to use it. Well, what about all the hundreds of millions of people that you've used it on that came up with a false positive and then started getting treatments or vaccines based upon the false notion that they had COVID, would spread it to others, and would die if they didn't? Oh, let's not talk about that. Well, they made that mistake. We told you we were the first radio program, first information source in America to tell you don't use that PCR as a diagnostic for COVID. Use symptoms, use blood markers that could detect virus activity and immune activity. But no, this was Anthony Fauci and the group that couldn't shoot straight in Washington. So we try to provide quality information based upon scholarship, never politics, never ideology, never personal beliefs, science. So when someone wants to challenge whether face masks are healthy or not, work or not, and we've told you, like I wear a mask on an airplane and a shield, way before COVID, for decades. Why? Because people cough and sneeze. And what are you going to do if someone right beside you is coughing and sneezing and those large droplets are going to get into your passageway, into your nose, your mouth, your eyes, and that makes you vulnerable. But we're talking about COVID, a small virus. So after this commentary I'm going to read from this particular person, Edward Hendray, we're going to hear the actual science, the peer-reviewed literature. Richard Gale is going to be on, and he's going to share these insights. And by the way, millions upon millions of people have downloaded and looked at that Carrie Mullis clip. So we have a lot of clips. And by the way, I'm going to be hiring 4 people, 3 months apart, to start, because we now have completed the first 3 stages of my video library with thousands of videos and with tens of thousands of interviews and segments. So it's all done. That was a really huge task. And now it's all neat and on shelves, and we've got all the computers and monitors. We're going to hire a person, and this is in Florida at the Animal Sanctuary, and we're going to have someone sit there each day and just watch videos on different topics and then catalog them onto a computer. Why? Because let's just say, for example, the theme is cancer. Every film that I've done on cancer will be there. All of the dozens of individual experts will be there. So you can look under cancer and then all the different doctors, all the patients, all the research, and then just have a whole library of free information. I'm doing it as a public service. So if that interests you, send your resume. You'd need 3 months, each person, at prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. I'll be looking at the resumes and hiring these people, even though one is starting after 3 months, the second one and the third and fourth. And then we'll have thousands and thousands of quality videos for people to watch, get information from, and hopefully save lives. This is entitled, Children Wearing Masks Will Suffer Irreversible Brain Damage. Again, you can believe or disagree with this, but who's making these statements? It's Dr. Margaret Grace Brison, Brisson. She's both a medical doctor and a PhD. She's a neurologist. She's a neurophysiologist. She has a PhD in pharmacology with special interest in neurotoxicology, environmental medicine, neuroregeneration, and neuroplasticity. She is the founder and medical director of the London Neurology and Pain Clinic. And she holds membership, by the way, in the American Academy of Neurology, the European Federation of Neurological Societies, the General Medical Council, United Kingdom, German Medical Association, the Swiss Medical Association, the European Academy of Environmental Medicine, and the International Board for Clinical metal toxicology. She holds medical licenses in Germany, the United States, Switzerland, United Kingdom, Qatar, and Norway. That in itself is not an easy task. She is one, quite simply, of the world's leading experts on the effects of oxygen deprivation on your brain. And that's exactly what we're talking about. So Dr. Bryson states that wearing a mask over one's mouth and nose creates an oxygen deficiency and an increased intake of carbon dioxide. It causes an oxygen deficiency for the brain cells. In essence, the brain is being suffocated, which causes irreversible degeneration of the brain. She states that this is particularly a problem with children whose brains are developing. Depriving the developing brain of needed oxygen causes brain damage, quote, that cannot be reversed. Dr. Bryson's opinion is backed up by scientific studies. Dr. Baruch Van Sheldboyen, PhD, who is a clinical exercise physiologist specializing in pulmonary rehabilitation, is presently working at the Cardiology Division, Veterans Affairs, Palo Alto Healthcare System, Stanford University in California. He published a meta-analysis of studies measuring the safety and effectiveness of masks worn to prevent the spread of COVID. Now, interesting, just recently, in 2021, this month, the published article in the peer-reviewed journal was retracted by the publisher. Question, who brought pressure on the publisher? Because the scientists explain that at sea level, the oxygen level is 20.9%. He cites the OSHA standards for safe oxygen levels. He states, quote, respiratory protection standards from Occupational Safety and Health Administration, U.S. Department of Labor, states that breathing air with CO2 concentration below 19.5% is considered oxygen deficiency, causing physiological and health adverse effects. This include increased breathing frequency, accelerated heart rate, and cognitive impairments related to thinking and coordination, end quote. And while that information from the doctor is informative, he failed to explain the relationship between the OSHA safety oxygen level and mask wearing. And so, quote, when a mask is put over a wearer's mouth and nose, the oxygen level that is being breathed back in by the wearer of a mask drops to in a range of 17% and 18%. That reduced level of oxygen, according to OSHA, is, quote, immediately dangerous to life, end quote. And it does not matter whether it is a surgical mask, an N95 mask, or a thin cloth covering. In tests using all different types of masks, the oxygen level of the wearer dropped to a level below 19.5%, which OSHA has determined is a, quote, oxygen-deficient atmosphere, end quote, that is, quote, immediately dangerous to life. Well, the scientists concluded that face masks are ineffective in preventing the spread of COVID-19, and more pertinently, quote, long-term practice of wearing face masks has strong potential for devastating health consequences. Prolonged hypoxic hypercapnic state compromises normal physiological and psychological balance, deteriorating health, and promotes the developing and progression of existing chronic diseases, end quote. So now, let's go back to Dr. Bryson, one of the world's leading experts in this. She unequivocally warned that prolonged mask wearing for hours on end will cause irreversible brain damage. She characterizes it as, quote, criminal, end quote, to require that children wear masks because of the devastating effects of depriving the children of needed oxygen to their brain as it is developing. As with adults, the effects of oxygen deprivation are irreversible. The rebreathing of inhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and flooding of carbon dioxide. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for example, in the hippocampus that can't be longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They cannot survive. The acute warning symptoms are headaches, drowsiness, dizziness, issues in concentration, slowing down of the reaction time and reactions of the cognitive system. However, when we have chronic oxygen deprivation, all of those symptoms disappear because you get used to it. But your efficiency will remain impaired, and the undersupplying of oxygen in your brain continues to progress. We know that neurodegeneration diseases take years to decades to develop. So today, you forgot your phone number, but the breakdown in your brain would have already started 20, 30 years ago. So while you're thinking that you have gotten used to wearing your mask and rebreathing your own exhaled air, the degenerative process in your brain is amplified as your oxygen deprivation continues. So it also shows the loss of nerve cells will no longer be regenerated. So then the article goes into greater detail on all of this. So I'm merely bringing to your attention what two separate people in the healthcare field, an MD, PhD, and a PhD, both experienced in what happens when you wear a mask. And yet, none of this is being explored or even debated. If you disagree with them, which is your right, as I say with every interview and every tape I play, you can believe in any part of this or none of it or all of it. That's your choice. I only bring information on that I feel deserves a public airing. And I don't always bring on information I agree with either. I still believe that we should have open, civil discussion and debate. That said, let's go over to standing by is Richard Gale, who is going to share with you now the actual peer-reviewed science that no one in the media, no one in the government, no one in the halls of academia are discussing, and yet it's there for us to know the truth. Richard, nice to have you with us. Now go through quickly what the actual peer-reviewed literature shows is our benefit or to our detriment when we wear a mask.
Well, there was a CDC study done, Gary, back in, it was funded by the CDC, back in last year ago, May, that came to the conclusion that, so this was very early on, that there were out of the 14 randomized controlled trials, the evidence was that there was nothing to support the value of face masks. That was specifically with influenza, and I only bring that up because Fauci just several weeks ago came out and said that it's possible that mask mandates could last indefinitely to fight flu. And that was the headline of that. And yet we haven't even been testing or monitoring the flu. And recently we even learned that the testing of COVID could actually produce a positive result based on the presence of the flu virus. Very recently, this kind of related to what the woman had stated before, but there was a Stanford study that was actually very quietly published on the National Institutes of Health website that proved the face masks are absolutely worthless against COVID. And the data in that study was suggesting that both the medical and non-medical face masks are completely ineffective to block the human-to-human transmission of the virus and the infectious disease related to SARS-2. That same study gave a long listing of the adverse effects where wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have just not physiological adverse effects, but also psychological. In that study, they were listing hypoxia, shortness of breath, increased acidity. That's something we don't think of because the vaccines, it's not just depriving oneself of the oxygen intake when we're breathing, but also it's increasing the CO2 levels that we're getting into our bloodstream, and therefore our acidity will be increasing too. So there was the increased acidity and toxicity. It activates fear, stress response, which has an adverse effects on the rise in our stress hormones, immunosuppression, headaches, decline of cognitive performances. Long-term consequences wearing face masks is just a continual deterioration of our health that could eventually lead to more chronic diseases or even premature death. The science clearly shows that because the COVID viral particle is only about 100 nanometers, that the blue surgical masks are 1,000 times larger, and the cloth masks that people are wearing 500,000 times larger. So these aerosols can escape masks, and therefore they just render the masks ineffective. Another study that was done showing another adverse effect that wasn't mentioned by the doctor was it's from Belgian doctors. There's a study published in the American Institute of Stress there where they not just only being ineffective against the virus, but also it contributes to cavities. That study was also reproduced by some New York dentists, especially with people who are already suffering any kind of a tooth decay or receding gum lines. The mass will increase that. For children, what they have been discovering, this was a study in the Journal of General Dentistry, they were discovering that children that have been wearing the mask for a very long time have been showing facial deformities. This is like long, narrower faces, narrower mouths, high palatal vaults, dental malocclusion, more gummy smiles. Because now, I mean, a lot of these kids have just been wearing masks throughout, these little children just in daycare centers throughout the time. And especially for children, it increases acne vulgaris. Because of the moisture and germs collecting the mask, then cause the facial skin lesions and irritant dermatitis. That was a study that was published in the Journal of Dermatologic Clinics. Based on these bacterial infections, they're also producing red sores. And then a Mayo study that looked at that showed that that could actually lead to kidney damage. So there's a lot here. And I think the one thing is... we're looking at there's the fear mongering and the psychological effects that the fear mongering has. And this was brought up by Sukarat Bhakti, who's been a guest on the show, and where he said that there's no study to even suggest that it makes any sense for healthy individuals to wear masks, and that one could suspect that the only political reason for enforcing the measure is to just foster greater fear in the population. So those are just some of the studies. The other one is just the toxic materials that are used in the manufacturing of the masks. That's another one. And some of these are carcinogenic, including fire retardants and fiberglass, talomates, polyfluorinated chemicals. And that was a study that was also done. Because a lot of our masks come from China and from Asia. Less of them are being produced here in the U.S. And there was a study that was done that found 5 primary hazardous chemicals that are present in these masks. So, that's where we are.
Okay, so clearly we have 2 schools of thought. One is that masks save lives, that if you wear the mask, you won't get infected, and therefore you can be close to other people because you're vaccinated and you're wearing a mask. The other school of thought is that the masks do not have the science behind them, and what we're being told is both conjecture and wishful thinking, and therefore people may be putting themselves at risk if we listen to what the good doctor had to say. And by the way, for Jesse, I want to play a clip. We're trying to right now find the clip. It was in the same email of this woman being interviewed, a short part of it, it's about 20 minutes long, where she is stating exactly what I attributed to her, and it's best if she tells you in her own words. And mind you, we're talking about one of the most respected people in her field in the world, and that's the people we like to have on. These are not alternative people. These are pro-vaccine, pro-medicine, pro-everything, except now we are seeing a rebellion. Wouldn't you agree with that, Richard? A rebellion for the first time in American history of the mainstream Orthodox community saying that what you are asking patients to do, what you're demanding doctors, nurses do, is wrong, and you should be challenged. And these people are putting their careers on the line. So
Well, I think we're going happened, Gary, is we're just as a final remark, but just that our problem is that we have a situation, that's, and this has continued for many decades, where physicians and medical researchers are quickly ushered, they're escorted over to the escalator to ascend into the executive suites. We have to remember Fauci and some of these people, they took that elevator almost four decades ago. They had their agencies. So what we're facing now is that healthcare and medical prevention decisions are being made by bureaucratic consensus rather than by any consensus reached from the actual scientific data that's available. And so this is, I think, one reason why we're going all the way back to the beginning of the pandemic last March, that we find the CDC and NIAID just consistently fumbling the ball on the goal line. I mean, just with Fauci alone, consistently changing his decisions, contradicting himself, before congressional committees, making foolish statements to defend the federal health agencies.
Richard, the media should be there to challenge this, and they're not. They're there to defend Fauci and all the bad decisions made by every governmental agent in every administration, and that's not to the public's benefit. So I don't know if you've heard her actual interview. I haven't. This is a rare opportunity for us to learn about masks, because none of what you're hearing right now will you hear anywhere else in the mainstream media or the halls of Congress or before congressional hearing. Let's go now to her interview. And by the way, this is only a small part. Her full interview and the full article with the author of that article are posted on GaryNoll.com.
Video, and even at the risk that I will look disaster on every level. The next flu comes with next winter, but please don't panic. Americans say it takes two to tango. That means to dance tango, you need two people. For an infection, it also takes two. A pathogen and a host. And if the host is strong, then it can see the pathogen on eye height. Our health is greatly in our own hands through good food, good water, a lot of movement, sociability, joy, friends, love, and lots of fresh air, we can strengthen our immune system. Have you noticed something? Exactly those things our government is forbidding us. And what they are giving us instead is disinfecting hands, distance, and covering mouth and nose. Because of hand disinfection, there is unbelievable amounts of untested products have been thrown on the market. The amount, the extent of allergies, eczemas, and skin allergies, we can't even imagine yet. The distancing is brutal, and are bordering on and are not to be surpassed by brutality, contempt for human life, and horror cannot be surpassed. It's without comparison in the history. The much-loved mouth and nose cover, the humans can live weeks without food, days without water, but only minutes without oxygen and without breathing. The rebreathing of our exhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and a flooding with carbon dioxide. But we know that the human brain is so sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for instance, in the hippocampus, who can't be longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They can't survive. The acute warning symptoms are headaches, drowsiness, dizziness, concentration, slowdown in reaction time. So the reactions of the cognitive system. But chronic oxygen deprivation, all those symptoms disappear because people get used to it. You get used to it. But your efficiency will remain impaired. And the oxygen undersupply in your brain continues to progress. We know that neurodegenerative diseases lead years to decades. So if today you forget your phone number, the breakdown in your brain already started 20 or 30 years ago. While you're thinking, you have gotten used to your mask and your own exhale air. The degenerative processes in your brain are getting amplified through the oxygen deprivation, continue to go down. The second problem of the brain is the nerve cells are not really dividing themselves. So in case our government generously lets us go back to without masks and we are allowed to breathe oxygen again, the lost nerve cells will no longer be regenerated. What is gone is gone. This is extremely important for fearful people who actually think that they are protecting themselves from the viruses. The virus has approximately a size of 0.0 micrometers. The pores of the regular masks have a size of 80 to 500 micrometers and are getting bigger through each washing. They get bigger. The common masks does not at all protect you from a virus. I do not wear a mask. I need my brain to think. I want to have a clear head when I deal with my patients, with a clear mind, a clear head, and not in a carbon dioxide anesthesia. In London, at least temporarily, and medical exemption is absolutely accepted and respected, so far without comment. In my beloved Germany, in the meantime, every pilot, every steward, every pedestrian, every grocery store clerk have announced themselves as a mask, a mask Nazi, basically. Lufthansa pilots are throwing passengers out of the plane because they say people who cannot wear a mask can certainly not survive a flight. It happened to me. The next morning, British Airways didn't even ask for a mask. So I arrived alive in London. Maybe you remember that a few months ago, a black man in America was killed by a policeman in the street. The man said at the time, "I cannot breathe." And the policeman pushed harder.
Okay, you heard what she had to say. Mind you, she's an MD, PhD. This was her first ever interview. It was on Skype, and then an article was written on that that it also included the PhD in the United States. And, of course, what we're seeing is when someone writes a positive article, a whole group of scientists writes a positive article about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or vitamin D and its relationship to COVID, it's immediately taken down. The publishers are forced to withdraw it, not because they're inaccurate, but because it doesn't fit the narrative. So there's a huge battle going on. My role is simply to provide you with additional insights and information so you can make up your mind for yourself. Whether you wear a mask, get a vaccine, take a drug, that's on you. I just want you to be better informed. Now, we're going to go to more information here in a moment, but I'm going to deal with two things before we do that. First, I want to say that one of the finest investigative journalists in American history, Glenn Ford, just passed this morning. He had a program on Progressive Radio Network, Black Agenda Report. It will continue. And I've known Glenn for over 20 years. I've interviewed him a lot. He was in several of my films, including Poverty, Inc. And he was executive editor of Black Agenda Report. When I found out he was sick and terminal, which was just last night, I immediately reached out to those around him and said, give me a call. I'll see if I can help. But unfortunately, it was too late. I didn't get a call back. He was the son of the famed disc jockey Rudy the Deuce Rutherford, the first black man to host a non-gospel television show in the Deep South in Columbus, Georgia, back in 1958. Glenn was reading Newswire copy on the air at age 11. Glenn's first full-time broadcast news job was as James Brown's Augusta, Georgia radio station, WRDW, in 1970, with the Godfather of Soul shortened Glenn's surname to Ford. And Glenn Ford worked as a newspaper person for four more local stations in Columbus, Georgia, around Atlanta and in Baltimore, where he created his first radio syndication, a half-hour weekly news magazine called Black World Report, and in Washington, D.C. In 1974, he joined the Mutual Black Network, and he began to rise from there. He joined all these different groups, but he was a leader. He was an outstanding journalist, investigative reporter. And so he's been on the air for a long time, close to 50 years. So he will be missed. Ford was a founding member of the Washington chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists and was an executive board member of the National Alliance for Third World Journalists. Hard-hitting, you bet. Honest, to a measure that you rarely find. He will be missed, and he also is part of that group with Bruce Dixon, who also passed, I believe, from cancer, who was also on Black Agenda Reports. Also, I saw Jackie Mason passed. Many of you in this audience will remember Jackie Mason. About 1,500 of you attended a retreat that we did, a one-week retreat up at Grossinger's. It was one of about 18 that I did from 1974 to about 1990. And they were just phenomenal experiences. I had so much fun, always packed. What a multicultural, multi-ethnic, diverse group of people. We had great speakers. And one of those evenings where we had entertainment, I booked him to come in, and he went on a riff. He was so good that when it came to the end of the hour, he just kept going because everybody was cheering him on. And he went on for almost 2 hours. And then later, he invited me on his PBS television program, a debate program, and I debated the Surgeon General, Jocelyn Elders, on there. He and Rolf Felder, who is a close friend and attorney for him. So he was one of a kind. I watched all of his programs on Broadway. I went to, I think, about five different shows. And he was funny. He was creative. He was a brilliant mind. And he also will be missed. So two who passed, want to note them because they were special people. And I had a professional relationship with both. One other thing before we go to our next segment, and I want your call feedback now. Give a call and tell me what you believe should be the forum and the discussions on everything involving COVID. Because right now, the mainstream media, the mainstream scientific community will have none of their own colleagues, their own peers on to discuss the contradictions in their field. It's just one way or the highway. What are your thoughts on this, especially now that we're told, well, now the vaccinated are not protected? the vaccinated actually are shedding. And now there are all these side effects and all these disabilities and deaths into the tens of thousands of deaths, more realistically hundreds of thousands, and into the millions upon millions of injuries, many life-threatening and permanent. And yet the mainstream media, everything is full ahead, and the people to blame for all this are the ones not getting vaccinated. And now they want to go door to door. Cuomo said he wants to take people in a car to get them vaccinated. You know, start getting rough on all these people. Wow. But did you ever think that maybe it's these people who are questioning before they vaccinate who actually got it right? Your thoughts. 888-874-4888. Just a quick shout out here. Some of you in the audience have used some of the original products I've created over the years. But right now, there are five products that I'm discontinuing. I've mentioned this earlier, but I just want to let you know that I'm discontinuing, but I'm going to find another manufacturer. I just don't know how long it'll take to find another manufacturer who can meet my standards, produce a product, but at least in numbers I can afford to buy. I'm a little tiny company. You know, I'm lucky to order 1,000 bottles of a particular product, but my ingredients I consider the best in the world. No one can say they have better products than me. That's my belief. And you can look at the ingredients and how they're manufactured. I even have a film of every single step of how we grow heavenly aloe that goes into all these products. Well, that same film of how we grow the aloe and how it's produced, that's the aloe vera that's in the natural healthcare, hair care shampoo, the natural health care conditioner, the soap, the moisturizer. So why don't you go online at GaryNoll.com, look under products, and watch that video. From an airplane flying low overhead, you see the 1,200 acres of the organic aloe being grown, the finest quality aloe. There are many different varieties, the highest quality, being processed in a little factory there under strict rabbinical supervision. It's kosher. And at every single stage with the handcrafted herbs, that's the raw base material that's used in these products. But the company, unfortunately, wants me to order huge amounts. It would take me 10 years to sell all that. I can't do that. In fact, some of the products would expire before I could even sell them. So I said, okay, can't order anymore. So I'm going to sell what I have out until I can find a company that can duplicate all that and let me buy the amount I can sell. That's the whole reason I'm doing this. So the products are as good as they get. If you can find a better shampoo anywhere, do so. But let them show you their ingredient list and mine. Deionized water, aloe vera, the whole leaf aloe. That's the number one organic ingredient in my natural shampoo and conditioner. And then you have all the oats and the different nutrients and the grapeseed extracts. It's just loaded with all these wonderful natural ingredients and with a terrific smell, like a cherry almond. It's called the natural hair shampoo. It's a whole hair care scent. It's gentle. It softens and hydrates for strong, healthy hair. Well, when it's gone till I can find more, which will probably be sometime within a year. So I'm looking now, and I only have 701 bottles left. Of my conditioner, I only have 480 bottles. Of my total body moisturizer, which I say is the best moisturizer for your skin that you can find anywhere. Again, go to the label. Read the label on my skin conditioner, the total body moisturizer, where I'm using protective essential oils, nutrients, and powerful antioxidants, and it's all working at night while you sleep. It's not greasy. These are rich emollients. You know, and again, you're getting the oat beta-glucan, you're getting horsetail, nettle extract, you're getting the aloe vera whole leaf, meadow foam, and all the other alpha hydroxy acids. For your skin, you're getting everything that can help your skin. Coenzyme Q10, borage seed oil, evening primrose oil, lycopene, tocopherol, tocotrienol, retinol. It's all there. No one else does this. So this is the best of the best. This is the best body moisturizer. So we've got the body moisturizer. And then we have the cleansing soap. In fact, I just ordered a box. Mind you, I care enough about you that I didn't order it all for myself. I ordered 12 bottles. So at least I have enough until hopefully the next batch is created. This is the natural, deep, cleansing, nourishing, revitalizing for men and women. It's called Asia's Answer Foaming Skin Cleaner. This is what I use instead of soap. And again, the ingredients are the best of the best. And finally, natural pet care. This is a daily nutritional formula for dogs. And it's got the probiotics, the zinc, potassium, magnesium, calcium, spirulina, MSM, kelp, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D and E, and vitamin C and niacin, chondroitin sulfate and glucosamine sulfate, and amylase, salase, protease. There's no product out there for dogs like this. So these are the products. All right? When they're out, they're out. And they're going out, unfortunately, for the wrong reason. And I wish I could keep them in stock because these are some of my most popular items, but I can't. So if you want to get any of these, you can call and order them till we're out of stock. All right? So you're going to give I'm going to give you a number to call. So please write this down. You can call our vitamin closet and speak with Neil. He's at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. You can also contact our main sales group. And let's just see what that number is here. I don't seem to have it in front of me. Well, someone in the office will send it to me and I'll give it to you in a second here. So let's see if also we have anyone online that would like to give their thoughts. And I'm going to ask, we have Stephen from Westchester. Stephen, you're on the
air. Do you think that everything that's going on now has anything to do with eugenics?
No, I think one of the mistakes that Sherry Tenpenny makes and several others who have a lot of good information is they step over the line because of what can be proven to what they can't prove that is purely speculation. What you have is you have eugenics-supporting people such as Bill Gates and his father who had Planned Parenthood and his support of Margaret Sanger and eugenics. Yes, that we know. But you can't then say because someone associated in funding all this believes in eugenics that their purpose is to depopulate the world. There is no proof of that. So don't go there, because if you go there, then the legitimate information that you can support, you no longer have. So you by overstating something that is true, you're going to go into a dangerous area. So don't do it, all right? Just stick with the facts that everything they've told us about how to deal with the coronavirus has been inaccurate, in entirety or incomplete, like the total number of deaths, wrong. The total, the way that we should not do anything to prevent the disease and just wait for the vaccine, wrong. To use the PCR test to determine if we're infected, wrong. That we should all be quarantined together, sick and non-sick, young and old, with comorbidities, wrong. That we have to wear a mask outside, wrong. That the mask will filter out the COVID virus, wrong. So those you can argue. You can argue about the remdesivir, the drug that Fauci was sponsoring that doesn't work, is actually dangerous, and that they're supporting. And yet ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine with zinc does work, and they attack it. That is legitimate grounds. Don't step over that line saying their agenda is, because that we have no proof of. And then everything you believe in that you have put forth, they will discredit. Okay? Thank you for your call. By the way, the number for everyone else to order these products that are going out is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Look forward to being on tomorrow. Going to have a really powerful medical doctor explaining with charts what we should know now that we have been misinformed about, that is just going to drive a truck through Anthony Fauci's arguments. Have a nice day, everyone.